Good morning. It's certainly good to see you this morning. Again, I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have to be able to come together as the people of God, to be able to worship God in spirit and truth. This is something that we plan on doing. This is something that we don't take lightly. We are God's people, and we long for these times to be able to come together as the body of Christ. As you know, there are a lot of things going on in this world. This pandemic has affected us across the board without question. There will be people who will probably lose their jobs, people who probably lose their business. We know there are a lot of people at this time that are not working because of this great crisis. A lot of schools have shut down. It seems like every day there are more and more events that are canceling. I know a lot of spiritual events have already been canceled because of this virus. Without question, this virus is a serious, serious thing. It's something that shouldn't be laughed about. It's something that we should take very seriously as the people of God. And that's why I believe it's important for us this morning to think about the frame of mind that we should be in at this time. And not only at this time during this challenge, during this valley, we might say, that we are experiencing together, but I believe what we're talking about this morning is the mindset that we are to have as the people of God every day of our lives. We are in this together, but we're not alone. We have a great God that is with us and a great God that will strengthen us. In Psalm 46, verse number 1, we're reminded that God will strengthen us in times of trouble. We have strength. We have God as our refuge. And so as we go through this life and as we face any challenge that comes across our path, it's important to be mindful of what the Word of God teaches. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the frame of mind that we are to be in as we deal with this crisis. Number one, we have to remain positive. We have to remain positive. I want you to stop and think about how important it is to have the right attitude. You know, a negative mind will never give you a positive life. It just doesn't work like that. What's ever in the heart is going to come out, Proverbs 23, verse number 7. I'm thankful that as I stand before you and make these points, these are things that I'm not just coming up with. Oh, Clay, that's a great thought. That's what the Word of God teaches. What's ever in our heart is going to come out in what we say and how we act and how we respond. As you stop and think about a negative attitude or a pessimistic spirit, there are many examples in the Old Testament, many examples that show us what happened to individuals and even to a nation of people when people become pessimistic. Pessimism causes fear, and fear causes people to be paralyzed spiritually speaking. I believe one of the greatest examples of what I'm talking about is found in Numbers chapter 13. You see that pessimistic spirit of the 10 spies when they said, "We can't do this." And the danger of pessimism is this, it's contagious. Look at how that pessimistic spirit infected an entire nation. And there were only two of God's people that had this spirit of optimism. You know what? We can do it because God is with us. In Numbers chapter 14, verse number 24, the Bible says that Caleb, I love the language, Caleb had a different spirit. And when we go back and when we study the book of Numbers, when we study the book of Judges, the book of Joshua, we see Caleb is still on the scene. We have so much about this great servant of God. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that were allowed into the promised land. And we get insight into their lives prior to being in the wilderness. And you see, it was Joshua and Caleb that were optimistic, that said, you know, we can do this. And then when you study the book of Joshua, and you see the people coming into the promised land, in Joshua chapters 10 through 14, we read about Caleb. And Caleb was still right there being positive, doing God's work. Caleb at 85 said to Joshua, "Give me the mountain." What's interesting, you know what mountain he wanted? You know what people he wanted to fight? The Anakims. And these were the giants that the people saw on the land in Numbers chapter 13. I don't know if I've ever made that connection, but I made it this week when I was teaching through the book of Joshua at Southwest. I knew Caleb said, "Give me the mountain at 85, but I never made that connection that he wanted to go up against the giants that caused the people of God to be afraid. And so as we think about what we're dealing with, as we think about life in general, and I believe we're going to get past this, but so life in general, remain positive. Well, how do we do that, Clay? How do we remain positive? How do we remain focused when there's a lot of bad news? Let me give you a couple of passages to jot down. We'll read one of them. Isaiah chapter 26 is a great passage to write down. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. God speaking said that speaking to His people, "I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Me." Perfect peace for those who are focused on God. That's what we're describing this morning. Keeping a positive outlook by keeping our mind on God. And God says, when you do that, I will give you not just any kind of peace, but perfect peace. I like that. Complete peace. Now, we know from Philippians 4, verse 7, this is the peace that we have in Christ Jesus, and it's a peace that passes all understanding. That makes us happy and positive as the people of God during difficult times. I'm thankful for the peace that I have in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing in this world that can change that. I have that peace, and that helps me to remain positive. Turn over, if you would, now to Colossians chapter 3. A couple more passages. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to begin at verse number 1. I'm reading out of the King James. I'm going to highlight some other words that are used in different translations because I believe it really captures the point that we're making this morning. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ..." Paul is speaking to those who have been buried in the watery grave of baptism and who've been raised by the power of God, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to Christians who have been raised from the dead. He says this, excuse me, verse 1, "You seek those things which are above." We can be seeking things that are above, or we can be seeking things that are here on this earth. "You seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Plainly put, you keep your mind on God. You seek God. You seek those things that are in heaven. You seek the spiritual. Now watch this. Verse number 2. King James. "Set your affection." Affection. Other translations, and I love how this is translated, "set your mind on things above." I believe it captures what we're saying. Remain positive. Remain spiritual. Remain spiritually focused. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, as I look at what is happening in our time, I'm thankful that it has caused me. I'm not thankful that people are suffering and losing their jobs. I'm not thankful for that. I am thankful that it can cause people to think more on God. And if it should cause anybody to think more on God, about God, it should cause God's spiritual people to think more on the spiritual. Because we realize that this life here on earth is very short. We know that it can be very difficult. And ultimately, one of these days when Christ comes again, everything's going to be burned up. There's really no true value in the physical. But you see how the physical affects so many people because that's all they think about. But the people of God, their mind is on God. Their mind is on the spiritual. And so even during difficult times, they could remain positive. They can remain happy. And I believe that is the spirit of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The joy isn't, whoopee, I get to suffer. No, the joy is having the opportunity to exercise your faith in God and to grow closer to God and to remain spiritually focused as we go through this life. So Isaiah 26 verse 3, Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4 can help us remain positive. Let me give you one more verse to write down that will help you have this positive outlook, this spiritual focus, keeping your mind on God. Psalm 91, verse 1. Oh, there are many psalms. There are many psalms that we can study that can really calm the spirit, calm the soul. And that's the very nature of God's Word, and that's why we're studying God's Word. God is powerful. His Word is powerful, and His Word has a very special way of comforting us, a very special way in calming us down. Here's a passage that will calm the soul, that will help you to remain focused. Psalm 91, verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love that. We shall remain under the shadow of the Almighty. This passage is speaking about the protection that God provides His people, the shadow of the Almighty. We talked about this Wednesday night. As you look at these two verses, the name of God is used four times in two verses. And my question Wednesday was why? And I believe we answered that question. We see different names being used of God, speaking about the same God, to help us understand who God is. And we see from these different names of God, God is sovereign, God's in control, God's powerful, we can know God. The idea of Yahweh, Lord, L-O-R-D, is the Hebrew Yahweh or Jehovah, and it speaks of God who is a covenant God. God has made a covenant with us. We sang together, standing on what? The promises of God. That speaks about Yahweh. God is a God, a covenant God. It implies that we can have a relationship with God. That's why I want to be under the shadow of the Almighty. And that will help me. When I understand Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2, and when I know God, it's going to make me positive. It's going to help me to stay spiritually focused on Him during this time. Listen, you can easily be distracted, and you can get caught up in all of the anxiety that's going on in our world. If you take your focus off God, bring your focus back to God. Listen to what we're saying this morning. Remain positive. Have this spiritual outlook on life. Number two, as we think about what is going on in our world, as I said, we're to be in the right frame of mind. We're talking about being positive, but we can remain in this spiritual state by remaining prayerful. This is really a good time to pray. As I think about prayer, prayer is a spiritual exercise that God commands us to participate in. It's a privilege, it's a command, it's a part of our worship service. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, that's a context dealing with worship. And we see after the church was established that the brethren continually worship God. Breaking bread, speaking about our worship and prayers. Notice that in Acts 2, verse 42. This is something that the brethren participated in. And as you go through the New Testament, God teaches us how to pray. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, we're to pray according to God's will. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. Prayer is a spiritual exercise. And let me highlight that it's not the only spiritual exercise that we are to engage in. You read through the book of Jeremiah, and God told Jeremiah three times, don't pray for the people. That's what Jeremiah was doing. God says, don't do that. God had another plan for Jeremiah. So prayer is not the only spiritual exercise that we are to engage in, but this certainly is a time to pray to God. And I realize that's a matter of judgment on my part, but that's what the Bible teaches us, that when one is afflicted, James, the book of James teaches, we are to pray. And you see the affliction that people are experiencing in this world. There's power in prayer. James 5, verse number 16. The affectional, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I hope all of the people of God are exercising this spiritual blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. And I believe a quarantine can do a lot of good without question. I think they've proved that. But I would also say that there's more power in prayer when the people of God are praying together, praying to God, asking God for His help. We're to pray without ceasing, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. That passage helps me to understand the power, the privilege of prayer. There are times when things are good and I'm thanking God, I'm praying to God. But then there are times where there are difficult in life and I need to be praying during those valleys. I would encourage you to just go through the book of Psalms and think about this second point. Remain prayerful. And that's exactly what you see the psalmist doing during those valleys. His focus was on God, and we see that by his prayer life. Remember, as you think about prayer from Philippians 4, verse number 6, prayer is a sign of dependency upon God. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse number 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, listen to the language, let your request. You see, prayer is how we communicate with God. This morning, God is communicating with us through His Word, but His Word also teaches us how to communicate with Him. Now, let me show you this avenue of communication that we have. Let me give you this word picture that I believe will encourage all of us to be more prayerful during difficult times. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4. And I always loved this word picture. I'm actually going to begin at verse number 14 because as we think about prayer, we're mindful of Jesus, our high priest. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, Jesus Christ, our mediator. Jesus teaches us how to pray. I think sometimes there's a little bit of confusion on prayer, and we understand that we pray to Father, but we can pray to the Father because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished as our high priest, our mediator, our go-between. Jesus does have a part in prayer. We have access to the Father because of Jesus Christ. But now I want you to look at this word picture, if you please. One of the ways you study the Old Testament, the Hebrew language gives us word pictures. The terminology that we're seeing here is definitely Old Testament. So listen to this. Hebrews 4. I'm going to begin at verse number 14. The writer is speaking about Jesus. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, same idea. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Again, this is speaking about Jesus when he was here on this earth. He knew what it was like to be a man. That's the high priest that we have. Jesus, as our high priest, he can relate. He knows what it's like to hunger. He knows what it's like to be thirsty. He knows what it's like to feel pain. He knows what it's like to feel discouraged, to be sorrowful. Jesus even wept. Jesus even wept, even though he raised Lazarus. You ever thought about why that's recorded in Scripture? I believe it's recorded in Scripture to help us understand the humanity of our Lord, which gives us a deeper appreciation of coming before the throne of God in prayer. Watch this now. Look at verse number 16. Because of who Jesus is, verse 16, we are invited. What are we invited to do? Verse 16 has to do with prayer. Listen to it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Do you see why we need to remain prayerful? Without question, if I was to ask how many of you this morning want God's help, without question, every one of us, even the little children, would follow along in raising their hands. How do we receive God's help? How do we say to God, God, please help us? We do so through the avenue of prayer. And God wants us to know that when we approach Him in prayer, this is what you're going to find. Remember, we're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray in faith. James 1, verse number 5. We have to believe. We can't just go through the motions of prayer. We really have to believe this. And if we believe it, if we pray in faith, God says this. This is what you will find in prayer. Grace and mercy to help you in time of need. That's how we ask God to help us. And I hope that as we pray to God collectively in our worship services, that we'll call upon Him to help us. I hope as we pray individually throughout the week, I hope that all of us will ask God to help us. There is power in prayer. Remain positive. I believe when you remain positive, spiritually focused, your mind is on God, you'll also, number two, remain in prayer. And then the last point, lesson will be yours. We're talking about the right frame of mind that we are to be in during difficult times. As you know, there will be difficult times. I think the older men of this congregation will tell you that. Once this passes, get ready. There will be something else that will come. That's part of life. Man that is born of woman, Job said, is full of trouble. I believe Job is talking about the difficult times. You look at the difficult times that Job faced. These are things that will help us during difficult times. Number three, remain productive. Remain positive. This is an alliteration, if you figured it out, by the way. Remain positive. Remain prayerful. Remain productive. just because we are faced with a great crisis doesn't mean that we just throw up our hands and stop working. Stop doing the Lord's work. The Lord's work must continue. Listen to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. For whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Listen to what Paul says to the brethren at Thessalonica as he commends them in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. He speaks about their labor of love. I like that. Not just their work, not just their labor. In other words, you have to have the right attitude towards the work of God. It can't be, oh, we got to do the Lord's work, and we got to keep going here. It's a labor of love. We can thank God in our prayers that He has given us work to do. And if anything, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58, if anything, right now, we should be abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, it's a proven fact. In the midst of a crisis, people's hearts are a little softer. It's a proven fact that people are thinking more on a spiritual level more than ever. You realize that the Bible alludes to that? That's why Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, that it's better to go into the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Now, that's not how the world would view that. The world would say it's better to go into the house of feasting. Feasting. God says no. It's better to go into the house of mourning. And He goes on to explain why. And one of the points that God makes in Ecclesiastes 7 verses 1 and 2 is this. The living will take it to heart. And I promise you, there are a lot of people in the world right now that are taking what's happening to heart. They are thinking. And this provides the people of God a great opportunity to be more evangelistic. We talk about evangelistic programs, not against those. I believe we have to be educated. We have to know how to evangelize, what to say. But we always talk about this door of opportunity in these programs. And sometimes those doors of opportunity are difficult to find. Here is a perfect opportunity for all of us to be more evangelistic. This is part of God's work. This is what we're to be about. We're to be about doing the Lord's work, abounding in that work, making sacrifices to do that work. That should never stop. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10, this will motivate you. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. You have to have that labor of love. God is not unrighteous to forget what you've done for Him. In fact, you continue to read the verse. He'll reward you. He will reward you for your service to Him. This morning, as we open God's Word together, I want to encourage you during these difficult times, these chaotic times. Look at the world. People are going crazy. People are panicking during these difficult times. Remain positive. How do we remain positive? By focusing on the spiritual. Focusing our minds on God. Think about what you say. Think about how you react. Remain prayerful. Take these cares, these concerns, take them to the throne of God. That's how we receive God's grace, mercy, to help us. And number three, be busy. Be productive. I promise you, there is plenty to do. I think about the workers at HEB. They're working probably harder than they ever have. Why not have the same kind of spirit as the people of God? This is a great opportunity to roll up our sleeves, spiritually speaking, and to get busy doing the Lord's work. I hope this lesson this morning will encourage you.